Hello and welcome to another episode of Radio Free Nintendo. This is your sometimes host, Evan Birchfield. I'm filling in for Mike Slenz for a special edition here on Saturday night. You'll be hearing this sometime next week, but we're talking to you now because it was one of the most important weeks in Nintendo history this past year, since E3, I'd say. And we've heard all the new information on Wii, and I've brought on three special guests, one of which has had firsthand experience with Wii and talking with NOA over at their press event in New York. So I have our good friend Mike Gammon, also known as Pale. We've also got site director Jonathan Metz, Johnny Boy, and our content director Daniel Bloodworth. Say hi, guys.
Hey.
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 Thanks for joining us. So I'm going to start us off by talking about one of the biggest topics and one of the things we're going to probably talk about the most, which is the price of the console. We all know it's coming out on November 19th, and I don't know if that's too much of a surprise. I know Pale predicted that. But the price is really controversial, $250 with Wii Sports packed in. Johnny, what do you think about that price and what caused that to be, that decision to be made?
I think it's mainly that Nintendo wants to make a profit on the system because, you know, from what I know about the technology, I really don't think the system costs that much. I think they could have sold it for $200 and probably broken even or even made a small profit then. My feeling on it is that it's a little too high. I think $200 was really the sweet spot because, as a gamer, I don't have a problem paying $250 for the system, even though it is... I think it's the most expensive system Nintendo has ever released, at least for the launch price. But I think considering the mainstream, huge market that they're trying to bring it to, $250 seems like a bit much for a game system. And you've seen that with the PSP, for one thing. They sort of went for a mass market there, and it didn't work at all. It didn't really even sell to the hardcore as much as they wanted. But... The Wii Sport being included is strategically a great idea. It helps people identify the system as a sports system, which Nintendo hasn't had since the NES, and I think it's a very important thing. And it's a really nice showcase for the technology, but considering that Wii Sports is primarily a two-player game, in my opinion, including that with a system but only one set of controllers is a real kind of bait-and-switch thing. And then considering the price of the controllers... Wow. I think that's a bigger problem than the base price of the system, actually.
Yeah. Well, how do you feel about that, Blood, as far as the price of both the system and the controller? Do you agree with what Johnny had to say?
Well, yeah, for the most part. I think that overall the price of the system isn't surprising. It's the fact that over and over and over we kept getting teased that, oh, well, the best part is the price, you know, and you're going to be really surprised at the price. And... You know, okay, well, yeah, it's $50 more than the last system was, you know. And, you know, I think it probably, you know, with all the technology and stuff, maybe it did cost a little bit more to where they weren't comfortable at putting it $200. And my theory is that they, you know, they didn't want to put it at something like $215 or $220, so they decided to even it out and throw Wii Sports in there. And then that way, when they do a price drop, they can actually, you know, have this huge... $50 price drop rather than a $20 price drop.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of my theory on it.
Yeah. Well, moving on to Pale, you've had firsthand experience now with that system, both at E3 as we did, and now in with the games and with the new Zelda. Do you think that $250 for that hardware, for the graphical power you're seeing and for the games that you're getting to play, do you think it's worth it?
Yeah, I think it's definitely worth $250, but would I rather have it be $200? Yeah, definitely. I think part of the reason why Nintendo may have done it, as Blood alluded to, was as kind of a defensive posturing for a possible 360 price drop shortly after, so that they can throw another $50 off without having dropped it $150. So I personally don't expect it to stay $250 for very long.
Yeah, I think he's probably right about there being a price drop after the early adopters get it. I mean, it may be, you know, especially if they're seeing that by, say, January, the mass market sales aren't really happening yet. You know, we'll have to see if there are 4 million real gamers who want the system right off the bat at that price. But my feeling on it is this, and I think this is kind of a different way to frame the issue, but if you look from a hardcore gamer's perspective, the kind of people who typically do care about specs and things like that, the Wii is basically, in power terms, a GameCube 1.5, but in price terms, a GameCube 2.5. I mean, the technology is really not a significant upgrade from the GameCube, which is not only 5 years old, but $100 now, and probably a little overpriced at that. I mean, they usually include like a game with it now.
I know that Blood has an opinion on that. Blood, how do you feel about the GameCube 1.5 mantra?
Well, I just don't think, I mean, even if, I mean, that's kind of a guide on some of the processors, but I mean, everything that they did to make it more efficient and always online and stuff like that, I mean, yeah, it's not a huge benefit, but, you know, we still haven't seen what all they're going to do with it, I guess. You know, so I think that, you know, with all the motion sensing and with the reduction of the heat and losing the fan and all that stuff and the slot loading drive, you know, that all that stuff kind of adds into it. And if you look at, like, you know, the PSP, I mean, the PSP is like a third the power of the PlayStation 2, and it's 250, you know. So
that's a good point. But here's another question.
The games don't look a third as good as PlayStation 2 games. They look as good as PS2 games.
But that's just because of the size of the screen. If you blow them up to a full screen, they don't.
Yeah, but no, but you can't do that anyway, so it's a non-issue. But I mean, the fact that Nintendo has reduced the size of the system, reduced the power consumption, things like that, you know, I understand that it's a significant technology investment to achieve these things, but the question is, does it really do them any good? Does anybody care? I mean, I think hardcore gamers don't care. The mass market might. I mean, in an iPod sense, making it smaller, making it look cooler, that may have an effect on the mass market, but not at $250. I think at $250, it's not a mass market item, so that maybe will come into play further in the generation.
And speaking of the mass market, is the mass market going to want to buy a controller, a complete controller unit, for $60? So what do you think about that, Pale?
I can tell you right now, I mean, I was planning beforehand that it was just going to be like GameCube launch for me. I was going to go out, buy 2 memory cards, 3 extra controllers, and have a fully set up system right afterwards. And that's not happening now. There's no way I'm dropping $180 to get 3 full sets of controllers. So I think it's ridiculous myself.
Yeah. Well, how do you feel, Johnny?
Well, I think, I mean, the price is clearly too much, but I think even worse than that is the fact that they're selling them separately, which, again, to a mass market, that just overcomplicates the process. And to a hardcore gamer, it makes the price look worse than it is. I mean, if you drop the price by only $10, but you put them in together, not only does that make the whole process simpler, it makes the stocking easier at the retail level, but it also makes it easier for developers to know that, yes, if they want to make a 4-player game that requires the nunchuck, their players are going to have an equal number of remotes as they do nunchucks, and now they don't know that.
Right.
Yeah, I think, I mean, definitely packing them in will be easier. I don't understand why the nunchuck is $20. I understand all the stuff in the remote, the Bluetooth, and the rumble, and accelerometers, and all that stuff, you know, adding up to $40, especially since Microsoft is charging $50 for their controller. And I understand the classic controller being $20. It's the same as a GameCube. But why the nunchuck's not $10 or $8, you know, I don't know.
I think the solution is to just put the nunchuck in with the remote for $40. I can't believe they didn't do that. I hope that maybe by some stroke of luck that they change their minds, because I just want to buy 3 things and get 3 sets of controllers that will play all the games, and then I'll be happy.
Yeah, at this rate, I'm not planning on buying an extra remote and nunchuck. I'm only buying an extra remote, and that's going to be it, because I don't plan on. I'm not a big multiplayer gamer, anyways. So
if you buy an extra remote, though, a game that's packaged with the system, Wii Boxing, you wouldn't be able to play with a friend because it needs a nunchuck as the second controller. Just as an example of why it's stupid to sell them separately.
Yes, I think we're all in agreement there. But what do you think can be done? Do you think not buying the controllers is going to solve the issue?
Well, I mean, what the NOA rep told me when I complained, he basically said that he thinks Nintendo is going to... They're setting it up with the whole Mii's transfer to your controller, that your friends are supposed to bring the controllers over. So nobody's supposed to have to buy extra controllers. And to me, that really reminded me of the whole connectivity GBA debate from a while ago. And it's just, I mean, that's not the case with me. When I have family that wants to play, come over and play, I mean, they're not going to have the system, and I want to have the controllers to show them. So I don't buy that at all.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be going to Thanksgiving, you know, 3 days later and taking it over up to the place where I go, and there's going to be a whole bunch of people there that usually don't play video games, and I'm gonna have a full set of remotes, and I'm probably going to have one extra nunchuck at least, you know, just because of that, you know, to show it off and have
everyone
involved.
And that's exactly that's really the point, because Wii is supposed to be this mass market, you know, this is supposed to be something I can show to my grandparents and get them to play. And, you know, so this idea of just, oh, well, if somebody else is going to play with you, they can just bring their own. You know, the kind of people that I'm going to be trying to convince to play Wii with me are not going to have their own Wii. That's the point. That's the point of Wii, is you're supposed to show it to people that don't normally play games. It's worse than the connectivity thing. I mean, the games like Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, it's such a hardcore game, you probably can find somebody who's a big enough gamer nerd that they have their own Game Boy and they can bring it over. But a game like Wii Sports, no.
Yep.
Moving on, I want to talk a little bit about the Virtual Console. We know that the prices are going to be divided out in points, and that it's going to be $5 for an NES game, $8 for a Super NES game, and then $10 for an N64 game. We don't yet know how Sega Genesis or the Neo Geo games are going to be playing into that, but probably at the comparative rate for whichever era they were in. Do you guys feel that those prices are fair, or do you think that that is still just a little bit too much? And I'll start with Blood.
I think that they're fair. I'm not sure what Xbox Live is charging right now, but a lot of the times when you're looking at cell phone games and stuff like that, they're usually more pricey than what I would pay, and that's why I've never really bought a cell phone game. So when you're talking about stuff like that, that I, you know, I know what I'm getting into, and I know what I want to play. You know, getting Zelda or Metroid or something like that for $5, you know, it's about the same as what they were charging for the e-cards, I think.
Blood, which Virtual Console games do you think have to be included to make it a killer app for the system?
Well, I think the variety is what will make it a killer app. I mean, most of the stuff that they're going to be putting out on NES are going to be things that have already been selling well, you know, in the Famicom Mini stuff over in Japan. You know, you're going to have Super Mario Brothers, you're going to have Zelda, you're going to have the balloon fights and stuff like that. But it's really, I think, having a good Super Nintendo lineup is what will probably drive it more, since those games haven't been re-released as much. Stuff like Super Metroid has never come out before on another platform.
Mm-hmm. And Pale, how do you feel about the Virtual Console? Was there anything that you got to see while you were at the press event?
Yeah, you know, they didn't really have anything set up special for the Virtual Console there. My main confusion was the blanket statement that, you know, all NES games are $5. To me, a game like Zelda 2 The Adventure of Link is definitely worth $5, but some of those early first gen titles that I'd really like to play again, like Wrecking Crew and Balloon Fight and those things, those aren't necessarily worth $5, and I kind of wish they would have made that distinction instead of just the blanket statement, because there's going to be some games that are really easy to rationalize and some games that aren't so easy.
Mm-hmm. And how do you feel, Johnny?
Well, I mean, what Pell just described is really no different from the market for brand new games, though. Some games aren't really worth the money and some are. So that's why, you know, it'll come up to personal taste and probably some kind of media coverage to let people know about the games that they never played before. You know, I mean, you know, in other words, don't buy Joust just because it's a famous game. Really, you'll get bored with it after 10 minutes. It's not worth $5. And somebody who's never played Joust before, incredibly, that'll be useful information to them. So, I mean, the Virtual Console stuff, I'm really happy with. You know, as a hardcore kind of guy, I look at the list and I think, man, you know, I wish they'd throw on Mother Zero and, you know, Sin and Punishment and this and that. But that doesn't make sense for now, if ever. And for the launch lineup, you know, I think it's a nostalgic thing, and you want to have games on there like Legend of Zelda and Punch Out and maybe RC Pro Am and the stuff that people remember playing when they were kids.
Yeah. Speaking of nostalgia, let me just say that if they can put Gunstar Heroes on the Virtual Console and allow it to be played online, I would not stop playing that.
I don't think that's the strategy, though, unfortunately. That's how the Xbox Live works, but I think the virtual console is pretty much just emulation.
Yeah.
Right, that's a good point, because I think there's a certain faction of people, especially on our forums, that are really hoping for, you know, these resolution increases and these online play, and I don't think it's happening.
Nah.
And I'm wondering how upset people will be.
Well, we saw a resolution increase for Mario 64 at E3. It was definitely running at a higher resolution.
That's probably an emulation feature. But the good thing is, by not... See, Microsoft has all these rules and guidelines that basically force developers to do these things, like add online, and they have to add points and online scoreboards and et cetera, high definition. And by Nintendo not putting so many regulations on it, I mean, look, Nintendo has said throughout the end of 2007, you're going to see at least 10 new virtual console titles every month. That's well more than half, excuse me, well more than twice the number of new games that show up on Xbox Live Arcade every month. In fact, some months a Live Arcade gets like maybe 2 new titles. So having 10 spread across this variety of systems at different prices and everything, it's a huge difference.
Here's the thing, too, though. If when I was reading through the Japanese info, when they're talking about 30 by year end and 10 after that, they're only talking about themselves. They're not really putting any restrictions on what Sega and Hudson put out. So in Japan, they were saying that there are going to be 60 virtual console titles by the end of the year because of Sega and Hudson's lineups.
And does that include only like first-party Nintendo games for NES, Super NES, and N64? Or does that include, you know, or could we find that third-party titles for those systems, which we still don't know anything about?
Yeah, we don't.
You know, where are the classic Capcom games? Where are the classic Konami games? I mean, that could be even on top of that. So I think that the major difference you're going to see between Virtual Console and Xbox Live Arcade is not only the quality of the classic games that show up, but the just immense number of them, you know? We're talking thousands of games possible.
Oh, one more thing, though. Another reason that the virtual console is pretty nice right now. The other day, I got a new TV, and I was just testing out all my different things, and I turned on my Super Nintendo, and I found out that my Super Metroid battery had died, and my game saves were gone. And if I ever play that game again, I'm going to have to leave the Super Nintendo on to get all the way through it.
That's awful.
So, virtual console right now is good timing.
I have a friend who just recently got Super Metroid on the Super NES, has been buying a bunch of Super NES games, and is paranoid to death about the batteries on his games dying. And so if he listens to this podcast, he's going to flip out. I might have to tell him not to. I've been trying to convince him to buy a Wii, and he's not having it yet. So.
Well, if you know what you're doing, you can actually replace them, but it's a little bit of a process.
Yeah, well, that's something we may look into then. So I want to move on to online right now. Web browsing, we're assuming that we're going to have to purchase Opera based on the things that we're hearing with points on online. But we've also got Wii Channels, Wii Connect 24 with the system being online all the time. How do you feel that this is going to impact the hardcore gamer and those casual people that pick up the system? Johnny, I want to start with you.
The channels thing is so weird to me because it totally flies in the face of what Nintendo has said for years and years, which is we're all about games. And it's so bizarre that you know, Sony and Microsoft have gone to all this trouble, at least they talk about making their systems like the center of your home entertainment system, you know, like something the whole family can use to, you know, people. I mean, at one point Microsoft was talking about the Xbox 360 literally like running your house, like turning on lights in the kitchen in the morning and stuff like that. But, you know, of course that's not going to happen. And the thing is, people who would use that kind of feature aren't in the market for the 360 anyway. But what Nintendo is doing is they've basically gone and cut right underneath, especially Sony, which is so important to them to make the PlayStation like the most important piece of electronics in your house. And Nintendo is now basically doing that before Sony even has a chance, and they have a price that has a much better chance of getting into the kind of households that would use that kind of feature. And I don't have any problem with it, but I just find it amazing that Nintendo is doing this, because it's completely against what they've said that they're all about all these years.
Hale, do you think that it's... Do you agree with Johnny on that? That it's against what... It's hypocritical of Nintendo to make that decision to add those things?
Yeah, I mean, that was my first thought when I heard about it too. It's just like, what? Why am I using this to look at pictures? But then when they demonstrated it, it actually seemed quite cool. And one of the things that that I thought of at the press conference was, how are we actually going to who's going to want to fire up their Wii just to check the weather? And that whole concept of supposedly an instant turn on, I think it could actually turn into a feature that people will use if it does fire right up. You just have to click like an input button on your TV or something. So yeah, it flies in the face of what they've always said, but I think it's cool, and I think it's definitely an addition to what they're trying to do with Wii. So,
and how do you feel, Blood?
I don't think I'm going to use it much, but I think it's kind of neat. I like the globe on the weather map there. I think what's more interesting to me is the fact that they've talked about that they can actually update the firmware, and that they can add other channels, and they can and give the thing new features. And, you know, if they can somehow come up with a service that will feed people traffic, and you can check traffic in the morning, that's going to be a big deal in the big cities.
True. Okay, I'm going to move on to another topic here, which is one that, we talked about on the last podcast, is that Sony is definitely going to sell out of all of their PS3s, because they are making about 3 of them. So what about Nintendo? They're making an excess of units. They're making 4 million by year's end. Are they going to sell out? And a secondary question, which I think is pretty easy to answer, but I want to get your thoughts. Are they going to be able to fill that quota, 4 million by the end of the year? Start with you, Blood.
I think so. I don't think they would risk launching in Europe and Australia if they didn't think they could do it. And having refined all of these technologies, you know, and because, you know, it's a more stable, older technology in a way, really helps them in the manufacturing processes, where Sony just keeps having problems making the things. Yeah, I think that we're at a point now to where, unless you put 4 million out in one region, it'll, you know, the hardcore market plus Christmas shopping will sell out pretty much any system. So, and you know, 4 million spread across 4 regions, I think it'll sell out just normally. They'll probably have enough coming through, you know, on a regular basis, but it will probably still be hard to find.
Mm-hmm. And Johnny, how do you feel about that?
Well, I think Dan's right about the manufacturing. It's hard to imagine them having a major problem with it, because, you know, pretty much all the technology in Wii is tried and true. They're using things like accelerometers and infrared devices in ways that haven't been used before, or they're using them for gaming, which has never been done before. But, you know, it's not like cutting edge stuff like Blu-ray. manufacturing, I don't really see it being an issue. As far as the sales, I don't know. You know, I mean, how many are they putting in America? Like 2 million out of those 4 million?
Yeah.
I mean, we're definitely getting the bulk of them. And, you know, I think the initial shipment will sell out. Whether it does by the end of the year, I don't know. You know, are there 2 million gamers in America who want to be early adopters of Wii? That's a lot. I mean, when you think of a typical console launch, you know, the 360 shipped with like a couple hundred thousand, and the PS3 is going to have no more than that. So yeah, obviously they sell out. That's not that many units to sell out. Did GameCube sell out at launch? Yeah, but how many did they have? Like 500,000 in America? You're talking about supplying a much larger than normal amount of product per market, and especially to the North American and South American market. And I, you know, I'm just not sure there are enough early adopters to do that. And again, at this price, at the current price, I don't really think it's going to hit the mainstream yet. So it could go either way. I don't think it's a sure thing.
So Pale, as you've got two areas of expertise now, you're kind of a message board zealot, as along with me, and you've also had the chance to be in New York for a major event. So with those two things in mind, what do you think about the units selling out? 2 million in America? Do you think that could happen?
You know, I think the only thing I personally think it's going to be a big success, but 2 million is a huge number. So if it doesn't sell out, I think it's going to sell enough that it's still going to be deemed a success by most people. I still think that initial shipment's going to be hard to come by. I still plan on going to a Walmart at midnight to get it. The reaction just seemed... The one interesting thing about the event was the number of people that were just local New York City press that weren't necessarily, you know, big time video game press. And, you know, they just seemed really intrigued with it. And it's just, that's the kind of impression I got. And I think it will be a big Christmas thing myself. I really do.
All right, I want to stick with you, Pale, on another topic, which is the one issue that we've butt heads on a bit for the past few months, which is The Legend of Zelda on Wii. So I want to get your opinion. I know that you've already posted impressions, and we already know what you think, but I want to get just in some detail. I know you liked the E3 build and the E3 controls. You were weary of these new ones, but you love them. Right. Do you think that the changes are enough to convince me, knowing how I felt?
I really think that it's a question of somebody actually giving it a chance. And if you sit down and you played it for an hour on the couch, just like I did, I would be shocked if you didn't enjoy the game. Maybe you'd say you'd still want to play the GameCube one over it, but I don't see you saying you don't like it. I really don't. It was a ton of fun. The motion controls I thought were going to be very imprecise, and I was wrong. It's just a quick snap of the wrist, and he pulls his sword out, and it's just like pushing a button. And it really felt like I was doing the combos, and it was more immersive for me. I really did enjoy it, and I really, this is probably gonna get a lot of sighs, but if I were Nintendo, I would seriously consider dropping the GameCube one completely. Because I really worry that people aren't going to give the Wii one a chance.
Mm. And you said in your impressions that, is there a GameCube version? Do you really feel like this is definitive, that you don't even... I know you didn't care before, but do you really not care in any way if there's a GameCube version included with Wii?
I have no intention of even checking out the GameCube version after playing it. I have zero intention. I know I will love that game. In the press conference itself, I was so bummed that Prime 3 wasn't going to be a launch title. And Prime 3 was there and still awesome, so don't think that Prime 3 made me not like it. It was just Zelda was so good that I now am not even concerned with Prime 3 being put off, because I'm glad that I don't have to play them both at the same time.
All right. Well, I have to say that the implementation of the motion control is what's getting me the most interested now, so I'm actually pretty keen on giving it a try myself, and I am one of the lucky people who gets to review it for the site, so like it or not, I think my opinion will be forthcoming. Pale, I think you ought to post a review as well, just in case I don't like it. And we should just have every staffer review it, I think, actually.
I'm not going to sit here and say that you're definitely going to like it better than the GameCube version, but I really don't see how you'll play it and not like it.
Okay.
You know, maybe you'll like the GameCube version better, but you still, I still am convinced you will like the Wii version, well, based on what I played.
Hale, I want you to know that I trust you. So, let me just tell you that. All right, so we're going to move on to a different topic, though, which is launch titles. Nintendo's only got two official first-party titles coming out in America, whereas in Japan they've got a few more than that. I think more like five. And we've got Ubisoft supplying eight, and we've got several other developers within the launch window that we know. Is Nintendo wise to release only two titles, and one of them Zelda, which is already controversial? What's your opinion, Blood?
I think that either WarioWare or the Wii Play that's coming out in Europe for launch, but not here, and coming out in Japan for launch, I think one of those games should have come out, just because, you know, just like Wii Sports, it's an easy thing for anyone to pick up and get into and to just kind of show off and get used to the controller. And so the third-party titles, I mean, I'm kind of mixed on. There are some that I like. There are a lot of them that just seem like your average offering from third parties, and not a whole lot of effort put into it. You know, I'm not sure how many people really are anticipating SpongeBob. So.
Well, yeah, and us Nintendo fans are totally biased against third parties by default because of Nintendo's superiority, and because we don't get a lot of them, and what we get is usually bad ports. So if the third parties are really going to come through with, you know, official things like, or I should say exclusive things like Red Steel, or really innovative things like Rayman, if Ubisoft can really pull that off,
yeah,
that's where it will happen. What do you think about that?
What I think is interesting. Before you go over, is just the Red Steel Metroid situation. I almost feel as if Nintendo didn't want to one-up Ubisoft on that. It's like they wanted Ubisoft to actually have a chance to impress people before Metroid Prime came out.
That's probably true. Considering that Red Steel isn't very impressive at all, I could buy it.
Well, I think Dan is probably wrong about that. I think the reason, well, no offense, but I think Metroid was probably delayed so they could add some online features, because as we know, there's not going to be any online stuff at launch, and I'm not sure what they'll do with it. I know for, you know, they told me at E3 it's not going to be like the multiplayer in Metroid Prime 2, but that doesn't mean they're not going to have some kind of multiplayer, or just some other kind of online feature other than multiplayer. But it also just gives them time. I will say this is the first time a Retro Studios game has been delayed, and I have to think there's a pretty good reason for it, and it's probably not to avoid crowding out the third parties. I mean, Ubisoft is crowding out itself, you know? I don't think they really need to worry about Nintendo's games at this point. There's no way their 7 or 8 launch titles are all going to sell well. They'll be lucky if one of them does. But anyway, I think the reason that Nintendo doesn't have more first-party launch titles and the reason they don't need more first-party launch titles is that there is so much third-party support in the U.S. In Japan, I don't think there's as much, and so they probably want to fill in a little bit. But, you know, over here, it just doesn't seem necessary. So they're going to take a little extra time to localize that stuff. I mean, I agree with the Wii Play. I think that makes sense to have out at launch for the same reason Dan said, just so people can get an idea for how the controller works. And at $30, and especially if it includes a remote like it does in Japan, it's a great deal. I mean, it's the kind of thing you want there to be at launch, a good deal to help you get an extra controller for less money. Duh. But, you know, if that comes out in January, that's fine. Yeah, it's still fine.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel, pal?
I don't know. I don't have really much to add. In general, I think one of the leading theories that was touched on in the QA right after we found out about the Metroid delay was that they're all paranoid about the dead spots that everybody complained about with the GameCube. So maybe the games are ready, but they just want to spread them out. And I don't know. Like, I really got the impression that Metroid was close to good, but maybe Johnny's right about the multiplayer and the online. That's definitely a good point.
Yeah, but if they just make it an online Animal Crossing style Metroid, then I'm not going to be that satisfied. If it's stat tracking, then that's it, and we can go compare online. What else can you do aside from multiplayer?
Well, they did mention in our interview at E3, you know, the idea of maybe using Wii Connect 24. They didn't know how yet, but I think
someone explain Wii Connect 24 to me.
It's just the idea that the thing will update your game and send something to it, you know, while you're not playing, you know, so that you don't have to wait for it to
download. That's the most vague response ever, Blood. That doesn't answer anything.
No, well, I mean, we don't really have a whole lot.
The system may send something. It may send something over.
Well, what Dan says is accurate. The question is, why do we care?
Yeah.
And until, I mean, we've yet to see a single game with confirmed Wii Connect 24 features. So until they show us some application for this technology, I mean, I don't think it sounds all that exciting. But maybe in a game like Animal Crossing, it makes plenty of sense. But yeah, in a game like Metroid, I don't really see how you can use that. But there may be more to the feature than we've been told. That's likely. We just don't know enough about it, you know. It's not that we don't know what Wii Connect 24 does. It's that we don't know how developers are going to use it in a compelling way. And it looks like they're not going to be able to until next year.
Yeah. All right, so I want to move on to a game, a specific game, which is Wii Sports. Everybody's going to have a copy of Wii Sports. So we all have to deal with it. I want to start with Mike, since he got to play more of it than anybody else, I'm assuming, since he got to play just recently. Do you care about Wii Sports?
I didn't after E3, and I will say I'm still not sure how much I care, but I think Nintendo listened to a lot of the complaints of the simplicity, because every single one of the original E3 games had stuff added to it, and it was freshened. Bowling, I think, could be the all-time best video game bowling simulation ever. It's incredibly well done for what it is. Boxing is entertaining. I'm not sure how deep it is. I couldn't tell if I just sucked or if it really wasn't that deep. And But bowling, I was really impressed with bowling. I can see a lot of fun happening with bowling. They did everything right with it. It listens to spin as you roll your wrist through the motion. It can spin left to right or right to left based on how you roll your wrist. You release the button when you want to release the ball, and depending on where you're at in your arc of your wind up, it will release the ball at those different locations. It's really, for anybody who's into bowling, it's a pretty full-fledged bowling sim. So I think they improved Wii Sports a lot. So I care more than I did after E3 by quite a bit. Still don't know if it's a system seller for me, but...
Yeah. How do you feel about it, Johnny?
I'm kind of torn, like, two or three different ways. I think it's, again, strategically perfect, because it's the first time in a long time that a system has included a real game at launch with the system, which was a really successful strategy for Nintendo back in the days of the NES, if you remember, and in the Super NES when it came with Mario World. And I think it helps establish Wii as a system for sports, which in the mainstream market is huge. You know, average Joe gamer doesn't care about Metroid. He cares about Madden. And if you, I mean, I'm serious, if you go ask someone who doesn't own one what kinds of games are on GameCube, they're going to say, you know, games for kids. And with this, Nintendo has a chance to change people's minds and say, it's good for sports games. Because the controller makes so much sense in that context, and they're proving that to everyone who buys the system. On the other hand, I think it's a big mistake to pack it in the system and yet not pack in a second controller, which is really necessary to play most of the games in the fun multiplayer mode, which is a lot, you know. Single player, as far as getting on there and playing golf single player, it just doesn't interest me very much. But boxing or tennis with my sister, who could totally pick up one of those games and get into it and probably kick my ass, you know, that's great. That's compelling. That's worth packing into the system, but it's going to cost me $60 extra to do that. You know, if I felt like we were getting a really good value of having Wii Sports packed in, I'd be a lot more enthusiastic about it. But when you compare the American price to the Japanese price, in Japan, Wii costs about $30 less, and they're selling Wii Sports separately for about $30. Which, I mean, you know, all I can conclude from that is that in America and Europe, we're being forced to buy a game. And it's a good game. If you have to be forced to buy a game, it's a good one to include because it appeals to a very large, you know, array of people. But given the early adopter type of person who's going to buy this, I don't think Wii Sports is the game most people would choose for their first Wii game if they had to buy it separately. And I feel like, you know, given the situation in Japan, Nintendo of America and Nintendo of Europe probably could have sold us the system at a lower price and let us buy whatever game we wanted to with that $30, you know, put it towards buying Zelda. So I feel like we're kind of getting a raw deal there. I mean, it's not a big deal, but it's just yet another thing to inflate the price up a little higher than I'm comfortable with.
So Blood, do you agree with Johnny that only idiots play Madden?
What?
Do you agree?
That's not what I said.
I heard something along those lines.
No, he said the average gamer plays Madden and he doesn't know anything about Madden.
I just wasn't listening closely enough, I guess.
Evan, you got to superimpose his email address right over that statement, so everybody sends him emails.
So, but Blood, do you have anything to add to that?
I agree with Johnny on the fact that it doesn't really feel like we're getting a free game. You know, the price in Japan is including tax. You know, and it's like $212 when you convert it. You know, and I know that doesn't, you know, they don't all convert equally, anyways. You know, you're just trying to hit those numbers, but. You know, it seems kind of funny that, you know, we're paying $50 more than any previous Nintendo system in the U.S. And, oh, hey, there's a game that you would probably have charged $50 for. But at the same time, you know, it's probably a game I would have picked up anyways just for the sheer fact that, like I said, you know, 3 days later, you know, six or seven people are going to be going up for Thanksgiving and we're going to be having fun and we go bowling every year, so we'll get to practice bowling now and... You know, it'll be a blast, but it does seem kind of funny that everybody's going to have to buy it.
Hey, one more comment about Wii Sports. And I'd love to hear what you guys think about this, but don't you think there's a possibility that including Wii Sports with every system could hurt the sales of Banana Blitz Super Monkey Ball? Because the bread and butter of the Super Monkey Ball games are the mini game simulations. I mean, at least, you know, when I play with my friends, and they're typically people who don't play games much, like my sister or my parents or just friends from school, when we play Monkey Ball, we're usually playing bowling or billiards, you know, or baseball. So including that kind of stuff with Wii Sports, is that going to make people look at the back of the box of Super Monkey Ball and say, I've already got this stuff, even though there's, of course, a lot more to it?
And I'll tell you right now, too, Wii Sports Bowling blows the doors off of Banana Blitz Bowling. I haven't played both.
Well, and let me just say that Super Monkey Ball doesn't seem to me to be, you know, anybody's killer app for one. And for another, everything that I played of Wii Sports at E3 does everything that Super Monkey Ball does better. So I think that Wii Sports is a better game anyways.
Yeah, but I mean, lest you dismiss it, Super Monkey Ball was a huge surprise hit for the GameCube launch. So I'm sure Sega is hedging, you know, they're hoping that it's going to be a breakout hit on Wii too. But the inclusion of Wii Sports, I think, could have a major impact on that.
Maybe the bread and butter of Super Monkey Ball had better go back to the monkeys and the balls rather than them breaking out of the balls.
Yeah, but it doesn't sound like that. I mean, they've got so many mini games in there. It sounds like the emphasis is not on the main game.
I don't even know much about the main game because of all the mini games.
Yeah.
It's hard.
I'm like, this game has Monkey Ball in it?
The main game's extremely hard with the Wii controller. But, yeah, I'm up in the air because I think I'm only going to be picking up one other game besides Zelda at launch. And I'm up in the air between, to be honest with you, between Monkey Ball and Raving Rabbids. And even Raving Rabbids is kind of the same type of game because it's just a bunch of mini games in essence anyway.
Really? Is there no platforming?
No, no platforming really. The whole premise, as far from the Ubisoft rep, was that you basically are charged with all of these weird tasks in order to please the rabbits, and those tasks are what are essentially 75 different mini games.
Wow!
Wow! So, Blood and I were having this conversation the other day. What about the ports to the other systems? Are they going to just do the same thing? Do you know?
I have no idea. Some of those mini games, I don't know how they'd work on the other systems that they showed on Thursday.
According to IGN's preview, the version of the game on other systems will basically have like a pointer on the screen and you move it around with a joystick.
Oh no.
It sounds really bad.
Why are they making that a multi-console game?
To please the stockholders.
But even then, it's still going to cheapen some of the mini games, like the carrot juice one. I don't know if you've seen any of the videos, but the carrot juice one, you have to use the nunchuck up and down like you're pumping the carrot juice pump, and then the Wii Remote is like the nozzle to squirt the rabbits. So even then, I guess they translate the pumping to a button. It's just it seems to lose something there.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Pale, I got another question for you on that, because I didn't know that you had some experience with the game while you were at the conference. Does it look as good as those screenshots make it look?
I don't know. That's kind of hard to answer. Yes, it looks good.
The screenshots look like really dynamic Edward Gorey paintings or something, you know, just really bizarre and beautiful.
Yes, it looks good, and yes, it looks close to a GameCube game at the same time. I mean, looking at it, I was listening to comments of people pointing out like jaggies and stuff, and Ubisoft was actually putting forth some defensive talk saying that this wasn't the final build and they were going to improve it. So I think you were looking at some standard Ubisoft screenshots, if you know what I mean, as far as prettying them up. The game is still cool looking though, don't get me wrong. It's not drop dead gorgeous.
Okay. All right, fair enough. Well, I want to move on to then just two last things. One of them is I want to know from each of you, which launch games are you getting? I just got the answer from Pale, which is he's deciding between Monkey Ball and Rayman. I personally would go with Rayman in a heartbeat, but...
I still love the single-player Monkey Ball. I'm kind of a nut for that, so it's still up in the air for me.
All right. Well, hopefully our listeners can help you make that decision. Johnny, what launch games are you going to be getting?
I was afraid you'd ask me this first. I haven't put a lot of thought towards it, but Of course, I was planning on making Metroid my primary purchase, and that's no longer going to happen. So I think for me, you know, I'm starting to feel convinced that I should go with Zelda for Wii, especially because they've delayed the GameCube version a couple weeks, and I don't want to, you know, sit around and wait while all my friends are playing it. So I'll probably go with Zelda, and honestly, I may be a rebel here, but I really enjoyed Excitruck at E3, and I'm probably going to be thinking about that one. Another one, I don't know, you know, Marvel Ultimate Alliance is a good possibility because I've never owned one of the X-Men Legends games, but I like them, and I think this one's got some pretty nice new features. I really wish it was online, though. Red Steel, you know, if Red Steel and probably Monkey Ball are two games that I'm going to be watching reviews of. Monkey Ball, the mini games will make it hard to dismiss because I've spent a lot of time playing with my family and a few friends, in Super Monkey Ball 1 and 2. So people are going to be saying, hey, did you get the new Monkey Ball so we can play it? And it's going to be hard for me to pass that up. But for me personally, it depends on whether the single player is any good.
You just show them Wii Sports, as we've established.
Yeah.
That sounds like the thing to do. And Blood, what about you?
Well, I'm definitely reviewing Rayman and Zelda. Aside from that, I definitely want to pick up Excitruck. The third-party stuff, I'm still kind of trying to decide on. I'm kind of leaning a little bit towards Red Steel. I don't know whether Splinter Cell will make a good transition over to Wii or not. We don't know a whole lot about the Wii version. It's kind of up in the air on the third parties. I am definitely in a kind of space where I might restart my GameFly account because, you know, it's like I want to try everything. I just don't know if I actually want to buy that many of them.
Yeah, that's the same thing for me too. For me personally, I am highly anticipating playing at launch SpongeBob and Elebits.
Elebits.
Let me just say that.
We should talk about Elebits at some point. Maybe not on the podcast, though, Evan, because they did make some changes.
Did they? Did they make it good?
Better.
Better than useless?
I don't know if it's achieved good yet. There's some more items added in. I could still throw chairs through walls, though, which kind of bothered me.
I heard that they added weight to the items, that they didn't just float, that they actually, like, different things weighed
the physics,
different amounts.
The physics is definitely tighter. Yeah, the physics is tighter. Still a little floaty, though, in my opinion. But it's tighter. And there's a bunch more items.
Well, I don't have an option on that one. I have to review it for launch.
And some of the elements attack you now. So they're definitely moving forward. So, but yeah.
Okay. Well, I have to say that my interest level has gone up maybe one point, but it's whatever. Okay, our last topic, the last thing I want to hit since we're going a little long, I want to just get your guys' opinion on one thing that is absolutely necessary and traditional for us to talk about and is, in my opinion, a sore, huge disappointment, and that is Super Paper Mario. Blood, start me out. What do you feel about this delay to Wii?
I think, well, in the long run, it's, you know, it's probably a good decision for the game itself. But I think it really is going to rub a lot of GameCube owners the wrong way, especially the people that can't afford to get it yet. So, you know, because we had Zelda and Super Paper Mario, and that was pretty much it for the end of the year.
And Donkey Kong Bongo.
Yeah, well, I don't know if anyone really cares about that.
Actually, the Bongo game was moved to Wii as well. I saw it on a list.
Yeah, all of them were. Bongo and Kirby GameCube was moved to Wii as well.
Wait, they're still even talking about Kirby?
Yeah, well.
Did they?
I don't think it even exists.
No one cared.
It's on the Wii list in Japan, though.
Well, that's good. It's good news.
But
what about you, Johnny?
I have to tell you, I think the move to Wii for Super Paper Mario is a really terrible decision, and I'm speaking purely from historical perspective. And I wrote a pretty well-known article about this like 4 or 5 years ago about when they moved Eternal Darkness and Dinosaur Planet, and at the time there were rumors they were going to move Conker to GameCube, and of course 2 out of the 3 came true. And what you
and the one that they should have done was Conker, out of all of those.
Probably,
to tell you the truth.
I it's hard to say, but I just think in general, moving games to the new system does not work out very well. The sales tend to be absolutely abysmal. If you look at Star Fox Adventures, did okay. I think there are probably more copies of the game given out with GameCubes for free during that promotion they did, than there were actually copies sold. But it certainly didn't turn out to be a great game. Eternal Darkness sold like crap and took a year and a half after the system launched before it finally came out. Was it a year and a half or half a year? It was certainly a couple years after the original N64 release date, and it sold like crap. If you look at Perfect Dark Zero, which has moved, you know, from GameCube to Xbox and then to Xbox 360, it sold like crap. Cameo moved from... I played it on GameCube. Moved from GameCube to Xbox 360. It didn't sell all that well.
Well, let me just say, Cameo's not that good of a game.
There's no historical support for this kind of move. These games, typically, when you move a game to a new system, it's not an easy process to do. I mean, that's why Zelda was delayed a year. Well, it's at least part of the reason. We'll never know for sure, probably. But it's not an easy thing to do to move, even from GameCube to Wii. I really doubt it's as simple as you would think, especially if you're going to add new controls. And typically, these games are delayed at least 6 months to a year beyond their original release date on the old platform, and the sales are abysmal because there's not enough installed base for it. You know, and if you look at it, the hardcore kind of gamers who are probably going to want to play Super Paper Mario, because let's face it, the aesthetic of the game has no mainstream appeal. It's weird. Okay? It's a hardcore 2D cutout action game. The people who are going to want to play that already have a GameCube. And in 6 months, they may not all have a Wii. And I think that's a pretty poor decision, especially given that nothing we really saw at E3... Well, I mean, you know, we saw like a little video of it. We haven't played it yet, but some people played it at over the summer at this event in Japan, and nothing that we've been told about it or have seen suggests that it would play better on the Wii. So, if you consider that this is only happening for marketing, for sales reasons, it's a dumb decision because historically, these games that get moved up to new systems sell like crap.
I'm curious about what Johnny thinks about Twilight Princess. Do you think it can buck the trend given its situation, or do you think it's going to sell worse relative to some of the previous Zeldas?
It's hard to say. I mean, the last Zelda game they released, which was Four Swords Adventures, didn't do that well. So it probably won't be the worst-selling Zelda game ever. No, I think it'll be fine because they're still releasing it on GameCube, and I think the sales of the GameCube version will be surprisingly high. I really do. I think the GameCube version is going to be a pretty big hit. It'll probably at first sell more than the Wii version, but Zelda tends to have legs. I mean, it's a game that even people who buy Wii 2 years from now, it's one of the games they're going to go back and play. They're going to go back and buy that one. So I think Zelda will probably sell well over the long term, but whether the Wii version sells better than the GameCube version in the short term, I don't know. It's a different kind of a case because, for one thing, they got it ready for launch, and that helps because there's a big boost from being a launch game. And the other thing is they're still releasing it on multiple platforms, and as we all know, multi-platform releases have an inherent financial advantage. So it's a different case.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, too, is that, you know, again, because of people like Evan who might prefer the GameCube version, they can get the GameCube version and play it on their Wii.
Yes, and they can advertise that.
Yeah, because let me tell you, I would much rather have had the N64 version of Dinosaur Planet than the GameCube version of Star Fox Adventures. So it's not necessarily an improvement in the game when you move it to the new system. There's so many technological issues you have to deal with, especially if you want to add any new features. That, you know, it's quite possible that the game they finally release will be worse than the one they could have put out on the older system and sold it to an enormous installed base.
So agreed, agreed, but it doesn't look like there's anything we can do about it. Metroid being delayed is bad news too, but overall I think we still heard good news about Wii. I think it's obviously we're all going to buy one, and we're going to try and enjoy Wii Sports, and if it could end up really surprising us, especially if bowling is as good as Pale is saying. So that's how we're going to end today. Thank you guys very much for coming on the podcast. And Pale, thank you for staying up as late as you are. What time is it over there right now?
It is 10 to 2.
10 to 2 in the a.m. Yep. Pale, you have cojones. Thank you so much for sticking with us. And thank you guys for joining us on Radio Free Nintendo. This has been our first four-person podcast, and we're pleased that you were able to join us. Stick to the website for all the updates on this last week, and you can read the impressions that Pale had from that press event in New York. For now, have a good night, and we'll see you very soon.
Hey, don't forget to send feedback to podcast@planetgamecube.com.